Hello, this is John Slanina and Rhiannon Skipper with SSTI. The following recording is an interview with Cheryl Bryan, Project Director of the Virginia Council on Advanced Technology Skills, or VCATS. It was the recipient of the 2007 Excellence in TBET Award in the category Enhancing the Science and Technology Workforce.
Can you describe the manufacturing workforce shortage Virginia faces and your initiative solution to this problem?
Okay. Well, one of the things that we did on behalf of industry was over the last 3 years, we conducted what we call a skilled trades gap analysis, and it was in two parts, and it was basically done to verify what we thought, which was we would have a shortage of skilled workers in the workforce. And the question was, well, how soon would that was that going to happen, as well as what were we going to do about it? And the results were quite startling. One of which is that we have, within the manufacturing sector alone, the largest number of employees that are nearing retirement. And the question was, well, how are we going to fill the pipeline, create a pipeline, et cetera? And the answer was, we had no idea. Also, within a three-year time frame of 2007 and 2010, the manufacturing technician alone, that gap, was over 22,000. When we looked at the institutional capacity within our Virginia Community College system, now this is one of our major suppliers of trained, skilled workers, we found that 10 out of the 23 colleges were at or above capacity. So we had an issue. We had an issue that we didn't have a solution for that was currently existing. So we had two organizations, two statewide trade organizations, the Virginia Manufacturers Association and the Virginia Biotechnology Association, come together with their boards as well as their membership to put together a solution to the problem. So what we ended up doing was going after a Department of Labor grant for some seed money, some funding, to get a program, a certification off the ground and running. So we were the recipients of one out of 11 high-growth training grants awarded in October of 2006 to put together a systemic response to this shortage. So we developed a system of certification levels 1, 2, and 3 to respond to that need and actually start building the pipeline as well as training the pipeline, attracting the people, engaging the people, assessing the people, and then if they needed some type of training, train the people.
Great. So as looking through the setup of your program, why is it that you found it to be so important to put employers and companies right in the center of your program?
The employers play a key role in that. They drive the demand. They own the issue, so to have them at the heart of the solution was critical in the success, because that said that they buy into, they will help develop as well as validate the result. So having them at the center, at the heart, was critical in the overall success of the program, as well as putting up matching funds to help fund the program.
In the original question, you talked about the three levels, the certification system that you've designed. Can you give an overview of those three levels and the differences between each?
Okay. What we decided to do was first start with building level one, which we call the entry-level manufacturing technician. And that's all about the foundation, the fundamentals of what do I need to be successful in the world of manufacturing? What do I need? What skill sets do I need in order to be competitive, in order to be successful in the environment? And then taking that and adding rigor, adding leadership skills to, and getting together what we call level two, which really starts building on the foundational skills and adding that rigor, more of the technical aspects of the competencies. And then level three, we get into specialization. For example, if I want to be a maintenance mechanic, I'll still need those foundational level issues or competencies of one and two, but I'm going to go off on this path and be more specialized in that area. So the way we sum it up is basically by looking at it as in terms of a spinal cord. We define the spinal cord, which is the foundation, where you, competencies you need to meet regardless of what industry you go into or how you are going to set yourself up for success, and then start building off of those, the branches. And the branches of specialization are like that lab technician or the maintenance mechanic, et cetera.
Okay. And then so in your application for the award, you discussed the three groupings of partners you used to monitor the results of your initiative. Why did you choose this model?
We chose that model based on the Department of Labor's competency model, which really focuses in on the workplace, the academic area, as well as the personal effectiveness. When you look at how we've structured our sponsorships, our partnerships, we've got the industry, of course, that's at the heart of setting the standard, helping to develop and validate the competencies, and then we work with the academic environment, the academia, to say, okay, well, where is a really good outlet to partner and to help disseminate the program? And being the training arm of the state, that was a natural fit. And then working also with the workforce investment boards, which really gets into the one-stops, the job centers, to help attract the people and get the people funneling into the program so that we can train them and fill that pipeline.
VCATS is still a pretty young program. Can you provide any examples of next steps for expansion or additional outreach for the program?
Definitely. One of the things that we have really focused in on is, for example, our regions and our neighboring states. We have had West Virginia come forth, North Carolina, that said, we like your model. We want to potentially adapt the model that you're utilizing to solve the same problem in our state. One of the things that we found early on, once again, is the fact that that we're not alone, that it's not a Virginia problem. Having come from industry and worked in numerous states, encountering the problem of lack of a skilled workforce was always there and prevalent. So we're working with neighboring states to adopt our model, as well as with the National Association of Manufacturers, NAM.
Can you just explain the process by which you partnered with the NAM's Dream It, Do It campaign? Especially, how important has this been to your development of the program?
Our partnership with NAM has been very critical and important as it pertains to the youth. Once again, going back to our gap analysis and looking at where are we going to find these people, where are the pools, the populations of available people to fill the pipeline and to start getting the gap filled. We saw that there's a need in the 16 to 24-year-old to start engaging them early on into the profession, into the career path of advanced technology. So when we looked at NAM, they had a wonderful program that had a proven track record to do that, to educate, to attract, and to engage that age group, the youth, into the manufacturing sector. So we went out and we actually became part of the Dream It, Do It campaign initiative and have now a statewide initiative going on throughout Virginia.
So now that I think that your initiative has been recognized as a best practice, there's going to be other states, other regions of the country looking at your initiative and trying to replicate it. Are there any components of your specific program that, if they would happen to be excluded when replicated by other states or regions, would prevent many of the accomplishments of the VCATS program from being reached?
Okay. One of which is never underestimate the impact on the economy. So you really need to do thorough gap analysis to understand where is the need and what are the current resources or programs out there that can address the need. Never reinvent the wheel. If you can leverage existing programs, especially as it pertains to Department of Labor funding, to grow what is currently in existence. And one thing that is really, really key that we believe is going to make us successful is that marketing. You can have the best program out there, but if you don't appropriately market it to the right people using the right resources, it will fail. So stressing marketing and how you attract and engage and educate people will be so key in the sustainability of anyone's program.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
In your application as well, you mentioned how you've been able to establish ties with the leadership of the state. Do you have any recommendations for leadership of other TBED programs about how to establish ties and then really engage their state legislatures and locally elected representatives?
One thing that we have found is that you can't talk enough about your initiative. So really going out and building the collaborations, the partnerships with the community college system, with industry, with workforce, and really leveraging that to your advantage is how you get the ear of legislature. One of the things that we've also done is to host breakfasts, to host luncheons, to host sessions in which we pull those key decision makers together and say, this is what's going on, this is the impact it has on the economy, the state of Virginia, and here's a solution to help further this cause.
And finally, are there any additional lessons learned just from administering this program that you'd like to share with the listening audience?
One of the key components is value, that value proposition statement. One of the things that we found, especially when we talk to the different populations of people, is they want to know, well, what's in it for me? So really being able to articulate that value proposition to all audiences, whether they are the employer, the employee, it doesn't matter, is going to be really key as far as the sustainability and how successful the program is. So I think having a program that's well articulated, that is shows value back to the bottom line, return on investment from an employer standpoint is going to be key, as well as with the employee. What does this mean to my pathway? What does this mean to my career? What does this mean to my family, my future, as far as my career is concerned? And how you communicate that will be the utmost of importance.